Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning from Atlanta, Georgia, Matt Hinton, Erica Hinton. Good morning.
Hello.
And Kari Lundgren, who is... Kari, your illustrious title is... Are you the director of the shape, Sacred Harp Singing in Sitka?
Shape Note Wonk.
Shape Note Wonk. And you guys can't hear it because... you don't have headphones, but I still have this tune going in the background. What are we listening to, Matt?
It is an early American tune called Russia. It was composed by a fellow named Daniel Reed in 1786. And the lyrics were written by Isaac Watts in maybe 1716 or thereabouts. And it's being sung by... modern-day living human beings who live in Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah. And it's the soundtrack, off the soundtrack for your film.
That's right. It's the soundtrack from our film, Awake My Soul, The Story of the Sacred Harp, which is a documentary about this kind of music, sacred harp singing.
And Kari, as part of, I guess, the Sacred Harp Convention, you're going to be screening this film when?
That'll be tonight, Rob, and it's going to be at the Centennial Building in the Matt Sudoff Room at 7 o'clock,
okay.
And it's free.
Kari, while you're still up there, tell us a little bit about what else is going to be happening during the Sacred Harp Convention. And is this the first time we've had a Sacred Harp Convention in Sitka?
Rob, it is our third annual.
Wow.
All Alaska and Pacific Northwest, and every once in a while a Canadian will show up. Sacred Harp Convention. So
okay.
This is our third annual.
In Sitka?
In Sitka.
Wow.
We're a loud but quiet group.
Okay.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I'll ponder that for a while.
And yeah, this is the kickoff to our third annual. Tonight is the showing of the documentary, which really is touted as the best, I think, film synopsis of the tradition. And we're just so excited that the Hintons came all this way to show it and to be available for question and answer. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Methodist Church on Kimsham, we're going to be having a singing school, which is also part of the tradition we can talk about in a bit. And then on Saturday is the peak event, the all-day sing with Dinner on the Grounds, which is, in Alaska we call it a potluck,
mm-hmm.
but in the tradition they call it Dinner on the Grounds. And that's the reason that half the singers show up is just for that part.
Okay. I can imagine in the South spreading blankets under a tree and everybody sitting around and the baskets come out and everything. So it sounds like a great lineup. And, Kari, if people want to know more about what's going on and get the calendar, they should just call you, 738-2089.
Absolutely.
Okay. And also, Kari was telling me before you guys got to the station, Matt and Erica, that if this were really traditional, you would have arrived on horseback or something, or in a flivver.
In a wagon.
Model A.
Instead of being flown in. Tell us about how you became involved in this tradition.
Well, for myself, it all came from hearing about a sacred harp singing that was going on outside of Atlanta, sort of in the country, when I was 15 years old. And I went out to it, and I could hear it from before I even entered the church. It was out, you know, maybe 200 feet away from the church, and I could sort of hear the energy of this thing inside, and I was almost afraid to open the door. And when I opened the door, there couldn't have been more than 20 people there. It was very small, but it sounded like there were, you know, that it was packed. And they were all very old, and I thought that these were the last human beings on Earth doing this, because I just didn't know, and so I became really interested. Immediately, it kind of grabbed a hold of me, and so I began by tentatively attending sacred harp singings, but not actually trying to do it very much because I just didn't think I could. But I would. Over time, started to dip into it more and more. And Erica here, well, why don't you tell them?
Matt introduced me to it maybe in 95. We went not on a very frequent basis, but just went here and there. And then Maybe a few years later, I was taking a documentary film course at Georgia State University and chose that as a subject for a 10-minute documentary film. And so we went, interviewed and got to know people more, and then just never stopped filming after that. And through that, just realized we'd rather be singing than filming. So I bailed out after a little while.
Which is why it took 8 years to finish the thing. Right. But and I will support Kari's assertion that it is the best Sacred Heart documentary, and so far it is the only
Sacred Heart. Come on, you sprung it.
So man. But it's also in my blood. I found out later that my grandparents, or my grandmother and my great grandparents, sang out of a different edition of the Cooper book down in Florida. So,
but that's it's just a different edition of the Sacred Harp. So she was a Sacred Harp singer as well.
So if you when you opened the doors to that church, Matt, mm-hmm. and saw the people, the older people, yeah. doing it, and you guys have been doing this since 1995. I mean, you must have, there must have been something to draw you in at a very young age. What's the demographic now of Shape Note?
Well,
singing?
It's grown substantially outside of the South, especially, and particularly among younger folk in often in urban areas, some of the last people you'd expect to do it. So New York City has a very large Sacred Heart population, and Portland, Oregon is one of the really growing, thriving communities, in Chicago and so forth. I think that what it's about is that more and more people are striving for a kind of authenticity in the music that they listen to and the music that they do. And for me, it sort of harkens back to sort of a punk rock aesthetic that it's a do-it-yourself thing. It doesn't require sort of professional training or anything like that. And you know, it's really loud, and it's sort of done with all your heart and sort of very passionate kind of music. So, you know, I can see why younger people, why it appeals to them so much. So, it's become kind of a hip sort of thing in various places. What has now become the largest Sacred Harp convention in the world is in Western Massachusetts, there where sort of five college area is. And my hunch would be that the average person at that convention, maybe late 20s. Is that fair, Steve?
That sounds right.
Yeah, late 20s, early 30s, something like that. So, I mean, given the fact that there are a fair number of older, folks in their 40s, 50s, 60s who come, that's what skews that number. Otherwise, if it weren't for that kind of 10% there, it would be even younger still. A lot of college
kids. That's interesting. And I did take a look at your trailer this morning, and Erica,
as the best trailer for a documentary film.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The best harp singing. Absolutely. The best I've seen. Yeah. But it's interesting that all the subjects who are in the trailer, they speak with such clarity and simplicity about the music. And Erica, did you find that was the case with the people that you interviewed, that nobody was coming at it from a very, you know, complicated sense of themselves? They were all just sort of speaking from the heart about something very simple.
Right. Yeah. They surely feel that, and, you know, just feel like it's part of who they are. And you can feel that when you're singing with those people too, you know, that it's not a performance. It's we're singing with one another and singing for God. So it really comes through in the music.
Yeah, and some of the people in the trailer are, they're moved to tears by the experience. But I was looking at the website Fa So La, and it was sort of describing the Shape Note experience, and it was describing it as spiritual, but not necessarily religious. It's not something that you know, is necessarily attached to a denomination or Protestantism per se.
Well, I would say that the lyrics of the songs are, for the most part, solidly within the Christian theological tradition. And it's always been the case that anybody who wants to come is welcome to come. The compiler of the book, B.F. White, who lived in Hamilton, Georgia, and he published it in 1844 originally. So that's sort of the time period that this book was compiled, though it has songs from well previous to that time. He wanted it to be a non-denominational or maybe interdenominational book, by which he did not mean sort of thoroughly ecumenical in the way that we might talk about it now. He just meant, well, it should be able to be used in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, and so forth, which were the churches that were in Georgia at the time, you know. So it doesn't deal with, you know, he avoided kind of specific denominational kind of issues. There are no songs about infant baptism, for example.
Right.
I mean, like some of these things that might have divided people were the very things that although ultimately it was, in one sense, it was an utter failure in that no denomination picked it up as their main book. There are a lot of primitive Baptists that sing out of it traditionally. But these days, yes, it's absolutely the case that that people from all and from no religious points of views sing it. As Hugh McGraw, the sort of the modern day kind of king of sacred harp singing, sometimes puts it, says, you know, we got Baptists, we got Presbyterians, we got Methodists, we might even have a few hypocrites.
That's all part of the simplicity, it sounds like. We've got to go. We're going out with a tune. Matt, briefly, just this tune, is it a contemporary Shape Note
song?
Yeah,
well, yes and no. It's, what it is a song that was written by J.P. Reese, who is from Noonan, Georgia, in the late 1800s, wrote this thing. But it is performed. We created a soundtrack to our CD, or to our film, and the first disc has regular sacred harp singing, and the second disc is a various artist compilation of different musicians doing sacred harp, doing their own arrangements of sacred harp tunes. So this is Elvis Perkins, who happens to be the son of Anthony Perkins, Psycho, you know. So this is the son of Psycho doing a song called Weeping Pilgrim. So that's it.
All right. Matt Hinton, Erica Hinton, thanks so much for coming in this morning. Thank you, Kari Lundgren. If you want to know more about the Alaska Sacred Harp Convention that's happening in Sitka tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, you can give Kari a call at 738-2089. You can watch the Hintons film Awake My Soul, the story of the sacred harp, the best documentary ever on sacred harp singing. It'll be screened tonight at 7 o'clock at Harrigan Centennial Hall. There will be a singing school led by Matt Hinton tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the United Methodist Church on Kimsham, and Saturday an all-day singing with dinner on the grounds, potluck at the United Methodist Church at Kimsham, starting at 9 a.m.